Today on News and Views, we have Jim Raby with us. He's here to talk about the recent city council decision from last Thursday, or two Thursdays ago, on December 11th. The council voted in favor of a zoning change that allows the Housing Authority of New Orleans and its developers to build a community center on the contaminated soil of what is known as the former Silver City Industrial Waste Dump. With us in the studio today, here is Jim Raby. He's the president of the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association. And can you tell us a little bit about what the Silver City Dump is?
The Silver City Dump.
Oh, hold on just a second. Here we go. Welcome, Jim Raby.
The City Dump was was perhaps the largest landfill for the city of New Orleans during the 1890s until about 1930, and landfill received something like 150 tons of garbage, of sanitation on a daily basis. In 1937, it was closed. Leveled off, and of course the Calliope project as we know it and the Booker T. Washington was built on that particular site. Now the question sometimes is asked, what's the geographical boundaries of that site? From South Roman to South Broad, and from Earhart to Errata Street, which is quite an area.
So if we were standing on the site, can you just give us a few landmarks that would be
sure?
About
visualize, when I say South Roman, instead of South Roman, three blocks north would be South Claiborne. And, of course, we know South Broad. On the right, of course, would be Earhart. Visualize Earhart, the old Calliope Street, also the train station. And, of course, Martin Luther King, which is one of the main thoroughfares.
And we'd probably be in the shadow of the Superdome right across there.
That's correct. Right. That's correct.
Okay, so what's happening on the site today, we're seeing a lot of name changes. So we had Silver City Dump. We had the Calliope Projects. It's now known as Marrero. What was the decision in City Council that impacted the Marrero Community Center at City Council?
The Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association got involved several years ago relative to the building of a school. The Booker T. Washington School was located in that same area. And the Recovery School District proposed to build a large school, and they were going to merge a combined Cohen and Booker T. Washington. Initially, we were concerned about building a large school. There's overwhelming statistics that show that minority students, students of color, do much better in small schools as opposed to large schools. And so our initial intent was to preserve our school and also to see if we could not maintain the small school concept. During our campaign to save the school and to protect the children, we learned that the Booker Washington site was a sanitation laundry. This has been a very well-kept secret, apparently. And so it was just by chance that I discovered that it was a landfill. I was having lunch with a friend of mine who was a little boy at the time, and he remembered the Silver City Dump, or he remembered a dump. He didn't know the name of it. But we found in Louis Armstrong's book, My Life, Satchmo, My Life in New Orleans, he talks about the Silver City Dump. So here we are, the beginning of the Silver City Dump, realizing, of course, that what RSD was proposing now was to build a school on that sanitation dump and to relocate Cohen students to that dump. And so we've gotten involved.
Right, and it's not the first time. So the Booker T. Washington School was there from 1940 until
2004, actually, is when the school was closed, yes. It was demolished, I think it was 2012, mm-hmm. but it's just been sort of sitting there.
And across town, there was also another school that was attended by mostly students of color. That was in litigation for many years because of its location on top of a toxic dump site as well.
That's a sore point, quite frankly, and it should enrage folk when they realize what happened here. Not only was a school built on that site, but you had housing that was built on that site. And of course, we sometimes discuss the inequities, particularly as it relates to residents or people of color. The area that you're talking about, the Agricultural Street landfill area, has in many instances been referred to as the Black Love Canal. The difference is that most of the residents in the Love Canal area were white. And, of course, the majority of the residents in the Agriculture Street area were people of color, were black. Now, the difference is, of course, is all of those persons in the residents and at Love Canal have been compensated. They've been paid. They've moved away. We still have today, in 2014, we still have families that are trying to move, trying to be compensated. And when you look at the history, and time will not permit, but when you look at the history of what has transpired, the decision to protect those in the Love Canal emanated in Washington. The governor of the state of California, I'm sorry, of New York at the time, decided that they were going to compensate those folk. And Jimmy Carter, who was the president, enacted legislation to make sure we folk in Agriculture Street still waiting to be paid. And of course, the Moulton School that you talk about that's on that area, council member Nadine Ramsey was the judge at the time who actually heard the case and who issued a ruling in favor of the class because there was a class action file. And unfortunately, none of those persons who were intended to be compensated have been paid. One of the things is that it decreed that all students who attended that school from 1986 to 1993 would receive something like $2,000 per year. I don't think anybody's received any money. The school board says we don't have any money. The city says we don't have any money. Hanover says we don't have any money. So stand in line and we have some money and you get old and gray. Maybe we'll give you nickels on a dollar.
Right, so what we're looking at is a pattern of the toxic burden being borne by people of color in New Orleans and in Louisiana. And there are protections that are required. The Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality is bound by federal laws to administer and implement programs that would not be as environmentally racist as they are today. At the city council meeting just the other day, the retired General Honoré said the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality would pass a ham sandwich. Can you speak to that point?
I certainly am not in a position to speak for the general, but I have had experience with the agency, and quite frankly, I would guess that what he's saying is that the agency, quite frankly, exists to approve almost any situation that is presented to them by corporate America. It does not matter. They're not concerned about community. They're concerned about corporate America, and if they bring them as let me just give you an example. The remediation plan that has been approved by DEQ essentially appears to be the same remediation plan that was approved for the Moulton School, that they've approved for the Booker Washington School. Well, if it didn't work for Moulton, what makes us think that it's going to work for the Booker Washington area? It's not. But, of course, that's not their concern. They said, put a couple of feet on it. We're going to excavate 3 feet of soil. We're going to put 3 feet of soil, clean soil, on top of that. Well, I think back in third grade, I learned if you had 15 feet, and that's what you have, the toxic metals that that are found in that site, we're talking about lead, zinc, mercury, you name it, that's there. Mm-hmm. It's about 15 feet. If you excavate three, then you still leave 12. My question is, what do we do with those 12 feet that's still there?
Right, and just for beginners, so what we're looking at is soil that contains, antimony, arsenic, barium, cadmium, copper, lead, mercury, and zinc. The contaminated site poses health risks, acute health risks, including respiratory impact, cardiovascular impact, and skin rashes. Some long-term risks, of course, include cancer. As the president of the Alumni Association for Cohen, can you speak to what your students are facing in this pattern of bearing the toxic burden in this proposed plan?
Well, as you've indicated, and there are studies that say it, no amount of lead should be found in the human body. So let's just take the lead situation and forget about, for the minute, forget about the other elements that you find. We don't want our kids going to a school that's going to present a health risk. There's no reason for it. Booker Washington, we know, the Booker Washington site, we know is contaminated. The Cohen site is not contaminated. And so there are two questions that we often ask, and no one seems to want to give us an answer. Is one, why is RSD so determined to build a school on a contaminated site when, in fact, there is no contamination at the Cohen site? So why don't we just forget about the Booker Washington site and focus our attention on the Cohen site? That's question number one. Let me hasten to add, this is not a Cohen Booker Washington fight, as the Recovery School District would attempt to portray. Okay, we certainly agree with the Booker Washington alumni that you want a school, fine, we want a school for you. But we would suggest to you that our fight is not just about Cohen Booker Washington now. We're talking about children. We're talking about generations of children that would be required to attend this school. And the second question that I ask is, the folk who are making the decision, would they send their children to the school that they're proposing to build for my children? And if they would not, then why would they send mine? That's a question that no one seems to ask. And so I sometimes take them off the hook and says, okay, I'll make the question rhetorical.
Thank you. So you spoke before about the decision with with the Cohen staying with RSD rather than going to the school board. Now these are plans that have been in the line for RSD. Can you speak a little bit more
well,
about the
that,
site
that's
and
a,
the
that's
school?
Well, that's another issue.
Okay.
The school relocating from RSD to Orleans Parish School Board, and that's a tug of war between those two agencies. And I, at this point, let me just hasten to say that there's an article in today's paper that suggests that because 35 of the 36 schools have decided to stay with RSD is that they are perfectly content, they're happy. Let me suggest to you that in addition to my serving as president of the Cohen Alumni Association, I also sit on the board of directors of a charter management group. And of course, we recently voted. I voted personally to stay with RSD. Not because I think RSD is doing such a great job, but I had a choice of voting between better, bad, and worse. And so I chose to stay with bad as opposed to going to worse.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to for people that have just tuned in, we're speaking with Jim Raby. He is talking to us about the recent decision in City Council to okay a zoning change. The Housing Authority of New Orleans and its developers wanted to build a community center on the former site of Silver City Dump. This is also the location of a proposed Recovery School District school that would rehouse the Cohen College Prep, which is currently located off of St. Charles Street in Uptown. It would move many miles away to the former site of the Silver City Dump, which is over on Earhart, kind of opposite the Amtrak station a bit, and also the former site of the Calio Projects, what is now next to the Marrero Projects. So thank you for tuning in. You're listening to WTOL New Orleans 91.5. Can we speak a little bit about your involvement here in the decision? It was voted in favor in City Council to approve this zoning change. There were two folks that did vote against. Can we speak a little bit about that?
We are extremely grateful to Council Member at Large Jason Williams and Council Member Nadine Ramsey, District C, who courageously, we would say, voted against that that change. The other five members voted for it. Might also point out that site is located in Council Member Latoya Cantrell's district, and she promised that she would do certain things that she did not do. Okay. So, again, we want to thank those two members for having the courage to vote against it. Actually, it's a vote for children. You know, when we talk about community centers, I was somewhat embarrassed and insulted to hear the developer say, well, we're going to have a basketball court. When we start talking about children and putting gymnasiums in these areas, why don't we sometimes talk about putting computer labs or mentoring programs in the, as opposed to always basketball courts? But that's just another story. That's just me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's posing the sports is the thing that's going to somehow change neighborhood violence, as if it's not a systemic structural racism. That's
but we also know that it's education and not sports.
Exactly. Yeah.
That gets them out of the area.
Yeah. So we spoke for a moment about the history of relocating, you know, Black school children to sites of former toxic waste, and that it actually creates a lot of costs in litigation, years and years of litigation. And it would benefit, we believe, New Orleans to invest in health, environment, education, rather than subsidize like the developments.
One of the reasons that we find many of these schools built on former dump sites, toxic areas, and so forth is because the land is generally cheap. And unfortunately, throughout the country, most states have no laws that govern where we can place schools. And 97% of all the schools that are built in this country that are built on or near toxic dumps are built for children of color or low income. 97%, okay? And so you talk about the money cost. No, sure. Initially going in, it's cheap to do that, but long-term, it's quite expensive because we're talking. But it's even more expensive because what you're doing is exposing children to severe health issues. And as we could spend a day talking about the health issues that could probably result as a result of attending these schools that are built on or near these toxic dumps. We're talking about special needs children. We're talking about teachers who teach. You'll find a high number of miscarriages. You'll find a number of cancer persons developing tumors with cancer. As a matter of fact, talking with a person just a couple of days ago, who's a resident of the Agricultural Street area, her young daughter developed breast cancer at age 12. Her grandson died at 19 because of tumors, malignant tumors that they could not identify. Why are we so willing to put our children on these sites? I mean, it's a human issue. It gets beyond the dollars and cents. It's just human. And then I say, okay, you must do it, fine. My son is going, but your son is going to, we're going to go together. We're going to hold hands when we go to that school every day. And let's see then whether or not you're willing to build that school.
Thank you. I wanted to spend some time featuring the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association's thank you that's out in two newspapers today. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, we... let me hasten to add that the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association is certainly not one of those extremely wealthy alumni associations where we have an alumnus that would say, you know what, you're doing such a fine job, we're going to donate several million dollars. We don't have that. So it was quite a stretch for us to put this ad in the paper, but we felt it was extremely important to publicly thank Councilman at large Jason Williams and Councilman District C Nadine Ramsey for their stand. And of course we recognize and we realize that we may need to call on them in the future when it comes time to build the Booker Washington School. And so we have the ad is located in the Louisiana Weekly on page 7. And it's also in today's edition of the New Orleans Advocate, page 4A. So we would ask you to go to either one of those publications and to see the article. As a matter of fact, I think if we have time, I'd like to share that article with the audience.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to do that. Just for a review, we're talking to Jim Raby. He is the president of the Alumni Association for the Cohen School. And he's here talking to us about a recent decision in City Council that resulted in a zoning change, allowing the Housing Authority of New Orleans and their developers to build a community center on the former site of the Silver City Toxic Dump. It's also a site that is proposed by the Recovery School District to house the Booker T. Washington School that would then be rehomed for the Cohen College Prep School. So here we go. We're going to share our thank you. It's thank you, Council Member at Large Jason Williams and Council Member Nadine Ramsey, for having the integrity and courage to do the right thing for children and families. Jim, do you want to tell us what is integrity?
What is integrity? City Council members who do the right thing even when it goes against the majority.
So on December 11th, City Council members Jason Williams and Nadine Ramsey were the only members of the New Orleans City Council who took a stand for the health of our children and families by voting against Hano's plan to build a community center on the toxic and contaminated soil of the Clio Street Silver City dump. Hano's project has the potential to create another agricultural street landfill fiasco for the people living and working in near the B.W. Cooper Marrero Commons apartments. Next to the apartments, environmental tests show dangerous levels of health-damaging PAHs and toxic heavy metals, antimony, arsenic, barium, cadmium, chromium, copper, lead, mercury, and zinc, in the soil, including native soil, from the ground surface down to 12 feet below ground. What is betrayal?
Betrayal is city council members who break their promise to ensure that Hano's building plan is safe. On October 7, 2014, City Council Member LaToya Cantrell promised to ensure that Hano's community center plan is safe before she would ask council members to vote on it. On December 11, 2014, Council Member Cantrell asked council members to vote on Hano's plan without proof that it is safe. Council Members Jarrett Brossett, James Gray, Susan Guidry, and Stacy Head all voted with Council Member Cantrell to approve Hano's plan.
And what is racial inequality?
City Council members who continue the racist practice of allowing Hano and school officials to build communities specifically for African Americans on city waste dumps.
From the time of Jim Crow racial segregation to the post-civil rights era and today, at least a majority of the city council has voted to approve the building of homes, schools, and community centers specifically for African Americans on city waste dumps. In the 1940s, the city council approved the building of Calliope Housing Development, Booker T. Washington High School, and a community center for African Americans on the Clio Street and Silver City dump. In the 1970s to the 1980s, the city council approved the buildings of homes and a community center on the Agriculture Streets landfill, which were marketed to African Americans. The council has also approved the building of the Robert Moton Elementary School on this waste dump.
Let's break the cycle of betrayal and racial inequality on the city council that gives African Americans the choice between a home, community center, and school on a city waste dump, or no home, community center, and school. And of course, this ad was placed, as I indicated placed in both the Louisiana Weekly and the New Orleans Advocate, and it was sponsored by the Walter L. Coyne Alumni Association.
Thank you, Jimmy. Can you tell us, before we take off here, where do we go from here? Is there a lawsuit? How can people help out? How can we influence the city council in the future?
I'm somewhat reluctant to tell you exactly what we're going to do, because then you would know our strategy in terms of how we're going to deal with this. The only thing that we ask, and we don't think it's unreasonable, we ask that the RSD would reconsider their plans to build a school on a contaminated site. If there are other options, we would ask that they would explore those options. If they must relocate Coyne, we have reasons to believe that there's some devious plan involved in relocating Coyne is the reason that Coyne is to be relocated. But if that be the case, then what we say then, if you must, and if you have the political will and the financial wherewithal to do that, then we ask that you would relocate at least to a comparable site. And if you do that, then of course, perhaps many of the problems that we're having now just might disappear.
Thank you so much for being with us, Jim. You're listening to WTUL News and Views. Today, we talked to Jim Raby about the recent council decision to okay zoning change that allowed the Housing Authority of New Orleans and its developers to create a community center on a former toxic waste dump. And we really appreciate you being here with us. Thank you, Jim.